Welcome to Ambleforth Manor, a 15-minute comedy drama series written by Patrick MacDonald. Episode 8, A Visit to the Neighbours.
So, where is he then?
Who?
Lord Bossum, you told me he'd call to see me.
Did he?
James, get a grip. Lord Bossum, you said he was here, so where is he?
Now I remember. Tall man, with a limp.
Yes, that's him. Lost his leg at the Falklands. Replaced it with a wooden leg, and he lost that one a poker.
I think I left him in the library.
At last, we're finally getting somewhere. So, where is he then?
That's him. Bloke asleep in the corner. Shall I wake him up? Apparently, he falls asleep a lot. That's why the last Prime Minister made him a Lord. See, they don't really want anybody awake in the Lords. Creates a problem when they want to get through new legislation. Oh, look, I think he's waking up.
Where am I? Who are you? One of you looks familiar. But I could have sworn he was dead.
I'm the Colonel. You said you wanted to see me.
Oh, yes, I remember. You're the Colonel. Now, why did you want to see me?
You said you wanted to see me.
Did I? Why would I want to do that?
Are you related to James by any chance?
Who's James?
See that man there? That's James. He's my butler. He let you in.
Your butler, you say? I need a new butler. I don't suppose.
Look, I hate to sound a little impatient, but you still haven't told me what you wanted to see me about. Why are you here?
Why are any of us here? It's one of life's mysteries. Aristotle said, I'm not sure what he did say. Something about shadow plays.
No, it was Plato, the allegory of the cave. He said that prisoners who spent their lives in a cave can only see shadows. So for them, that was a reality.
Yes, that was it. It was about the limits of human perception. You can only know what you know.
Exactly. So you have to recognize there are knowns. You can't know because you can only know what you know.
Yeah. So if you break it down, you've got your known knowns, your unknown knowns, and your unknown unknowns.
That's exactly what Rumsfeld said. Now, he knew what he was talking about. There was a wise man, a man who recognized his own limitations, a bit like Trump, really.
Actually, I don't think that's true. It was precisely because Rumsfeld didn't recognise his limitations that we ended up with the war in Iraq.
Please, stop the pair of you. You're driving me mad. It's like being trapped in a lunatic asylum.
I say, that's not very woke of you, is it? You can't go round accusing people of being lunatics. These poor people have a very serious mental illness.
Right, that's it. I'm leaving. You two feel free to go on unravelling the mysteries of the universe, but I've got more important things to do.
Oh, he's gone. What a pity. I meant to ask him whether he might know where I might find a new butler. The old one's just resigned. Apparently, he's got a new position with some Russian oligarch. He's paying him a fortune. If I'd known about it earlier, I might have applied myself. The state pension doesn't really go that far anymore.
Well, I might be interested.
Would you? Would you really? How splendid. You really are the most fascinating chap. It's so rare that one comes across someone who's your intellectual equal. You see, in the Conservative Party...
All politicians are the same. You never get a straight answer. Mostly, it's just a giant inverted pyramid of whiffle.
Exactly. All I've ever wanted from a politician is a straight answer to a straight question. They're like the wretched sat-nav in my car. You ask it to take you to Carlisle, and the next minute you're on a boat to Belgium. It really is most infuriating. You can't reason with it. When it wants you to go the wrong way up a one-way street, you can't have a sensible discussion as to why that's not a particularly good idea. The nearest it gets to a discussion is to suggest you turn around when possible. It never owns up to its own mistakes. Apologize for taking you down a farm track when all you wanted was the turning for the M6. Well, it might be the quickest way, but try explaining that to a startled farmer when you suddenly appear in front of his threshing machine. And when it's not doing that, it's telling you you've arrived at your destination when you know full well that the middle of a runway is not the destination you had in mind. Now, at that point, you really do want an argument. At least in the past, you could clear the air with a full-throttled row with your wife for screwing it up. Now, there's nothing I can take it out on. I just have to sit there, seething, hoping I don't get taken out by a ruddy plane.
Lord Bossum, although I would normally welcome a discussion on the vagaries of sat-navs, do you think we might talk about what sort of salary you had in mind?
What? Yes, of course. Come and see me again tomorrow, and I'll introduce you to the other staff, and we can agree your salary and all the other food paddle. Now, shall I get my butler to show you out?
You said your butler had left. That's why...
Oh, yes, of course. How silly of me. Shall I show you out?
This is the Colonel's residence, Lord Bossum. If you remember, you came to see us.
What? Oh, I am sorry. I forgot. I'm such a foolish man sometimes. Now, shall I show you out?
Kippers for breakfast, Juliet?
Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too fuller the milk of human kindness. I'll have toast, if that's all right, James.
The Scottish play, is it? Lady Macbeth? Where are you playing the boards this time?
The Kiln Theatre in Kilburn. Particularly grotty part of London, but the theatre itself is wonderful. I love playing Lady Macbeth. She's so deliciously evil. How are you settling in, James? Do you miss your old job?
Quite the opposite. Lord Bossum is a wonderful man. Plus, the pay is better, of course. The Colonel was a little upset when I left, but then he didn't offer to raise my salary to persuade me to stay. Speaking of the devil, the Colonel and his wife are paying Lord Bossum a visit this afternoon. Mainly, I think, because he's a lord and her husband isn't.
God, no. They sound such ghastly people. Still, I might have some fun with them.
Careful, Juliet. The Colonel's new wife is a formidable woman. You wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of her.
Oh, I'm confident I'll be a match for her. Well, Lady Macbeth will be anyway.
May I introduce you to Lord Bossum? Lord Bossum, this is Olga, the Colonel's wife.
Oh, so honoured to meet you, Lord Bottom.
And I'm delighted to meet you, Olga. It's Bossum, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lord Blossom.
No, Bossum.
Oh, so sorry, your lordship. Lord Bossum.
No, that's not quite right either. Look, just call me Fred. That should be fine.
You are Fred? This is ordinary name. You should have noble name. Alexander the Great. Julius Caesar. Joseph Stalin. Not Fred.
Well, Fred it is, I'm afraid. Anyway, you seem to be managing much better with that than Bossum. This is my lovely daughter, Juliet.
Oh, I'm so pleased to meet you. let me take your hand. A kiss it is correct, yes? In your country, the daughter of lord?
All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand.
Juliet.
Your face is as a book where men may read strange matters. You look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it.
Oh, what is serpent? Why you speak so strangely?
Out, damned spot. One, two. Why then is time to do it?
You're being rude to our guests. Control yourself.
What's done cannot be undone.
I'm so terribly sorry for my daughter's appalling behaviour. It's her nerves, you see. She's so very highly strung.
Oh, it's quite all right. We have lunatics in Bulgaria too, mostly in government.
Now, hold on a moment. I can't allow you to.
I really must apologise, Lord Bosom. My wife didn't mean to offend. Unfortunately, her English is not that good, but in the Bulgarian language, a lunatic is a good thing. They are very inspirational people. That's why they're all in the government.
No, it's not.
Ah, here's your lovely wife. How delightful to meet you again, Lady Bosom.
Antoinette, can I introduce you to Olga?
I'm very pleased to meet you, Lady Aunt Bosom.
Sorry, Olga, it's Antoinette. Three syllables, see? Antoinette.
Who are these silly bulls? I say her name right. Yes, Lady Aunt Bosom is name.
I give up.
Oh, it doesn't matter, darling. It is just a name. As the bard has it, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. I am delighted to meet you at last, Olga. I have heard so much about you.
Where you hear such things. You have spies? Let me speak to them.
No, I have only heard good things about you, from my husband, of course.
So no spies? Many spies in Bulgaria. Send some here, too.
Olga, darling, I told Lord Bosom how wonderful you are.
Do you speak French, Olga?
No, I speak three languages. Russian, Bulgarian, and still better, English. Nobody speak French. It's no needed language in world. I never needing this French. Everybody speak English, see?
Quel horrible femme-t-elle?
Je ne pourrais pas être plus d'accord.
But you say in strange language. Is this French?
Sorry, Olga. So rude of us. We can't help it, you see. Antoinette was born in Nice, and French is her first language. In fact, that's how we first met. I was at a conference there, and Antoinette was our delightful translator.
So what you tell her in funny language, which twists your mouth in such odd shapes? It looks like you talk with mouthful. Very rude in Bulgaria.
My wife was just saying how wonderful you are, and I was simply agreeing with her.
Please to speak English with me. I don't understand this French.
I'm so sorry, Olga. Of course we will. Might even manage a little Bulgarian if you're kind enough to teach us. Ha ha ha.
Yes, I teach you. It's more useful language than French. Lady Bosom, listen. Trayavu, des loge terrest, atata, tazvega.
Perhaps you could teach us a little more, Olga?
No, you said this. Trayavu, des loge te, castatata, tazvega.
Well, that certainly is a tongue twister, but I'm happy to give it a try. Can you say it once more for me to make sure I get it right? Perhaps a little more slowly?
Trayavu, des loge te, castatata, tazvega.
Tradavia, dashwazate, kashtekata, tazi veja.
Yes, is very good.
Thank you, Olga. You're very kind. And what does it mean exactly?
You must put bins out tonight. is useful phrase, no?
Well, that's extremely useful. Thank you, Olga. I shall try that out on James later.
So, how did your visit with the Bossums go?
Well, I thought it went extremely well. They really took to you, didn't they, Olga?
Very nice peoples, but have only ordinary name. I'm disappointed, but lots of things disappoint me about your country.
Olga even taught Lady Bossum some Bulgarian.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful. What did you teach her, Olga?
I teach her words for putting bins out at night for rubbish collection next day.
Oh, I'm really not sure how useful that is. I don't think Lady Bossum actually puts the bins out.
Then she must learn this. In Bulgaria, everyone know how to do this. Have a lot of rubbish, you see. Everyone need to help.
Yes, well, at the moment I don't have anybody to help with the bins. Not with James abandoning me.
But he told me he only left because Lord Bossum was offering him a pay increase. And even that wasn't very much. James said he was only offering £500 a year more. Surely we could afford that.
What? If I gave him that much, I'd have to stop buying some of my favourite vintages. Even the cheaper ones, like Bordeaux Chateau Lafitte, cost me the thick end of a grand.
Oh, but surely James is worth more than one bottle of wine.
I'm not sure that he is, actually. The Bordeaux Lafitte is frightfully good. In fact, I may have a glass later.
Oh, Daddy.
The Colonel was played by Ben West, Olga, Jackie Tevlin, Laurel, Jackie Powell, James, Patrick Ruddy, Lord Bossum, Mark Cherry, Lady Bossum, Lynn Perriment, and their daughter Juliet, Amelia Billington. Post-production, Sue Rodwell-Smith. Ambleforth's theme tune is taken from Mozart's Horn Concerto, played by the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Sounds, Wavelengths, Sound Library, and freesound.org. Produced and directed by Sue Rodwell-Smith, Ambleforth Manor was brought to you by Wavelength Productions and recorded in Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire.